time to join the American Family Robinson again in Centerville. The Herald is threatened with having to cease publication, and Editor Luke has already gathered his employees together to bid them farewell. The younger Robinsons, however, are determined to save the paper. Betty, Bob, and Dick Collins, at a conference, have laid plans for a large circulation drive, hoping to get enough new subscriptions to make the Herald a good investment for Mr. Markham, the town's largest manufacturer. They know Mr. Markham will loan the Herald enough money to pay off their $6,000 deficit and for operating expenses until the paper can get back on its feet if they sell enough subscriptions and advertising space. They haven't told Luke of their plans yet, but as we tune in, we find Betty telling Mrs. Robinson all about it.
I know our scheme will work, Mother, and think how surprised Daddy'll be when hundreds of subscriptions start pouring in.
Well, I hope they do, Betty. I think it's a splendid idea. But it'll take a lot of subscriptions to save the Herald now.
We don't have to depend on subscriptions alone, Mother. As soon as we get enough to show that the Herald can be run at a profit, we'll get a loan from Mr. Markham.
Well, that's the part I don't care so much about, Betty. Your father was never much of a borrower, and I've always felt the same way about loans as he has. The trouble with them is, they have to be paid back.
Well, of course, darling. But people borrow money and pay it back every day. You talk as though borrowing were something, well, a little shady. It isn't at all.
Well, it's not exactly shady, but it is short-sighted. When you borrow, you're placing a handicap on your own future, or even worse, that of your children.
But this is an emergency, Mother. It makes the future possible.
Oh, it might be the best thing to do, but I'd like to be sure we could pay it off within a year, for instance.
Of course we could. That's what the big idea is all about. And anyway, everybody's borrowing money these days.
Well, that doesn't make it a good habit. People seem to have gone mad on the subject of credit lately. But I haven't changed since the first time I ever opened an account at a department store. It seems so wonderful just to walk into the store and say, I want that and that and that, and not to have to pay for it. But then one day the bill came in.
But that was a long time ago, Mother. Nowadays, even the country itself borrows lots of money. So why shouldn't it be all right for us?
Well, that's just the point, Betty. Why can't we realize that the spending spree the whole country is indulging in is no different in principle than for any individual who spends more than he can possibly earn during his lifetime? The bill will come in, and we'll have to pay it, and our children and our children's children. That's why I, for one, don't want to indulge in any private debts. Our public debt is going to put enough of a burden on us through taxes.
Well, let's worry about the public debt next week. This week we've got enough to do worrying about the Herald. Anyway, this isn't really a loan we're going to get from Mr. Markham. What we're going to do is to sell him a controlling interest in the paper.
A controlling interest?
Mm-hmm.
You mean your father won't own the Herald anymore?
Well, it'll only be a nominal ownership that Mr. Markham will have. And that's better than to let Daddy lose the paper, isn't it?
Oh, I suppose so, but, well, it's a shock to think of someone else.
Oh, now, darling, don't you think about it. It's only for a little while until we can get enough together to pay it back. And with this knockout of a circulation and advertising drive, we will. In no time, you'll see.
Well, I wish I could imitate your optimism, Betty. I guess I'm getting old.
What's this?
Oh.
Who's getting old? Not talking about me, I hope. Good morning, Betty, my pet.
Hello, Wendy.
We were not talking about you. We were discussing something important.
Oh, I see. Say, since when have I not been important, huh?
Since you formed a habit of arriving for breakfast 2 hours after the rest of the family have gone out. And I'm not going to light that stove again this morning, William Winkle. You can eat a cold breakfast.
Well, Myra, now, really, one would think I were not a prospective heir.
Prospective heir to what?
Well, I don't know that that's just the term for it, but I'm going to marry a millionaires, am I not?
Well, I hadn't heard about the millionaires. I thought you were going to marry Miss Timmons.
Well, of course. She's a millionaires, isn't she? Or at least comfortably off. Not to be sneezed at, Miss Timmons. And I must say, for a man in my position to be spoken to as I've been spoken to...
Oh, forget it, Uncle Windy. You'll eat cold cereal and like it. But about Miss Timmons, you interest me. I didn't know she was really, well off.
Why, of course, of course. Why do you think I... Why, I thought everybody knew that. Sold her property to Jason for the factory. Must have made a tidy fortune.
Must have. Then you're not sure, huh?
Well, I don't know just how much, but it must have been lots.
Hmm. Well, I don't see why you shouldn't do a little something.
Good heavens, Betty, don't ring him in on this. We're having trouble enough without that.
Now, look here. What's this about? Me do something? Ringing me in? Am I being left out of something?
Yes, and I don't think it's fair. After all, why should we discriminate against you?
Why, indeed. And what is it? Any money in it?
Well, it has something to do with money, but not quite in the way you think, Windy. You know about the paper, of course.
Oh, yes, yes, too bad. I was sorry to hear about old Luke making a flop of things. I could have told him. Bad management, that's what it was. I offered him my services, and he refused them. And now, look, the paper's folding up on him. And just when I'm about to be married, too.
I don't see what your getting married has to do with it.
Why, of course it has something to do with it. I'm not at all sure that Miss Timmons will want to marry into the family of a bankrupt.
Well, then you'd better help us avoid it. You can't let the Timmons fortune go without a struggle.
You mean you really think she'd go so far as to call the whole thing off?
I don't know. If I were Miss Timmons, I certainly wouldn't want to take you on with a family of bankrupts dependent on you.
Oh, Betty, please don't talk about our going bankrupt. I can't stand it.
Oh, look here. What do you mean, dependent on me? You can't do that. Why, it's monstrous for Luke to go and bankrupt his paper and then saddle me with his whole family. Why, it won't do. It's not right.
Well, after all, you've been dependent on Daddy for a long time. It's no more than fair that you should...
But this is different, quite different. There's only one of me, and look how many there are of you. Besides, I couldn't consider using Letitia's money for that purpose.
All right, all right. Keep your blood pressure down. You won't have to support us. I've thought of a way out.
It's not a question of getting out of it. It's a question of not getting into it. What's your idea?
Just this. Save the paper and you save all. Am I right?
But the paper's gone. It's folding up at the end of the week.
Maybe not. Not if the scheme works.
What scheme? Now, look here. You're not thinking of borrowing money from Letitia, are you? Mm-hmm. Well, I won't allow her to do it. Why should we throw bad money after good? I mean, good money. Well, anyhow, why should we?
Well, you shouldn't. Nobody's asking you to. All you have to do is to get Miss Timmons to budget her advertising expenditures for the next year and then sign a contract for a year's display advertising in the Herald that can be keyed in to a year's radio program.
Yes,
and,
but...
And then, you see, the newspaper advertising will make her radio program more effective and vice versa. And not only that, Windy, but you'll be helping to save the Herald.
Yeah, but what good would that do if the paper's going to fold up? That would involve a lot of money. And we're going to need a lot of money to start housekeeping with, now that we're probably not going to get any wedding presents at all.
Not so fast, Windy, not so fast. Listen to me a minute, and you'll get your wedding presents. If the paper folds up, that would release Miss Timmons from her contract, wouldn't it?
Well, I suppose it would. After all, you don't have to pay for an ad in a paper that isn't published. Not even if you've got a contract.
Marvelous, Windy. All right, you're protected then. Or Miss Timmons' money is. And if the paper doesn't fold up, Miss Timmons' ad will bring her business so she can earn more money for you. And it'll help us to get on our feet so you won't have to support us. And we'll be able to start you off elegantly on your marital career with a pair of solid brass candlesticks. Now, is it worth looking into or isn't it?
Since you put it that way, there may just be something in it. Yes. And, of course, I could appear on the radio program as Master of Ceremonies.
Yes.
Well, I shall discuss the matter with Letitia. And, of course, she'll agree to anything I suggest.
Betty, I still don't like getting Bill into this. You know what happens to anything he touches.
Now, don't you worry about getting me into it, Myra. I can see now that it's my duty. Nay, also my pleasure to help the Herald get back on its feet. Yes, Sir Myra? You can rest easy. Old Windy Bill is taking hold.
Oh, dear. Betty, if your father hears that Windy is getting himself into this, it'll be the final blow.
Well, we won't tell him then. I think we'll find Windy useful in his way.
Now, I don't like your attitude. After all, I feel that I'm being pretty generous about the whole thing. Plenty of people would just let you paddle your own canoe or sink or swim.
I can't help wishing you were one of them.
I guess you'll have to prove your worth to Mother Windy. She seems to hail from Missouri.
Yes, I suppose all this trouble has worked on her nervous system. She's probably not responsible. But never mind. Wait till you see the contract I bring back from Letitia. That'll bring the smile back. I'm going after it right now. And you needn't bother about my breakfast. After all, I'm only a benefactor. I'll get coffee and donuts at the drugstore. Good morning.
Oh, Windy is priceless. It must be an awful strain on him to keep up with his ego.
Well, I only hope Miss Timmons takes some of it out of him. And she will, if anybody can. Oh, dear, I suppose that's a bill collector. That's all I need to make my morning complete.
Good morning, Mrs. Robinson.
Good morning, Mrs. Schultz.
I just slipped over to see if you could spare me a cup of sugar.
Why, of course, Mrs. Schultz. Come right in, and I'll measure it out for you.
Yeah. Good morning, Mrs. Schultz. Fine morning, isn't it?
Yeah, Vore. As fine as any morning these days. It's a good thing the weather is fine. It's about the only thing a poor widow can depend on anymore. I was saying to Mrs. Peretti this very morning...
Oh, I'd just love to hear about it, Mrs. Schultz, but I've just got to rush off. You tell Mother. She's the one to help you with your problems.
Oh, these young people rushing around all the time.
Mm, terrible, isn't it? I'll just stop in the pantry and say goodbye to Mother, and then be on my way, rushing to my doom, probably. Oh, Mother.
Yes?
Mother, you've got a customer.
A customer? Mm. For what?
For the big idea. For a subscription. You're just the one to sell her on sending in a contribution to the People's Column. She's got a grievance. Tell her to air it on the press, and the subscription is yours.
Betty, I'm no good at that sort of thing.
You don't know until you've tried it, darling. I'll bet you're a wow at it. Oh. Remember, it's for the country, for the Herald, and Daddy.
Yes,
now, I'm off for new fields to conquer. Remember, sign her up before she gets out of the kitchen.
Well, I'll try, but...
Good. And I'll be over tonight to report with an armful of subscriptions. Goodbye, darling. Sell her till it hurts.
Oh, wait. What shall I say? Oh, dear. Well, Mrs. Schultz, here's your sugar. Now, don't rush off. Do stay and chat with me.
Thank you, Mrs. Robinson, but I'm afraid I ought to go.
My Betty tells me that you have something on your mind. Anything I can help you with?
Something on my mind. Mein Lieber. And is there not always something on my mind? The same thing, Mrs. Robinson. Always money.
I know. It must be very hard for you.
It's disgraceful, Mrs. Robinson. It is wrong that I should have to worry. Mein Heinrich, he was a careful man and saving. He left enough that I should be comfortable all my life.
Yes, he was a fine man, Mrs. Schultz. And everyone knew he was a good provider.
And what happens to the income he provides? Every year it shrinks and shrinks like bad wool in the wash. And the money Heinrich worked so hard for. Where is it, Mrs. Robinson? Taxes. And again, taxes. Business is getting better, they say in the paper. Then they say so. We will soak the rich. Am I the rich, Mrs. Robinson, with my little money to live on melting away before my eyes?
Oh, that's just the trouble with most tax schemes, Mrs. Schultz. Yeah. The millions of small investors like you who depend on incomes are the ones who suffer. Or has it ever occurred to you that you could do something about it, Mrs. Schultz?
And what am I to do? What can one poor widow do?
Well, you can let the people know your trouble.
Hmm?
You can express the viewpoint of the millions of people like you. That's what makes public opinion. And public opinion can work wonderful changes, Mrs. Schultz. I'm sure Mr. Robinson would be very much interested if you would write about your troubles for the Herald.
Oh, Hilda Schultz writing in the paper. Mrs. Robinson, you're joking.
Oh, why not, Mrs. Schultz? Haven't you as much right to give your side of the question as the politicians who impose the tax?
Well, it's a new idea to me, but why not? It is true, why not? It would be printed in the paper?
Of course, why not? And you could see it, and see what all your friends would say about it. You might start something, Mrs. Schultz. Something big.
And I could see it in the paper.
And there's a subscription sold right there. What luck will Betty and the rest have with their subscription drive? Will they save the Herald? Join us in our next program and see what happens. Until then, goodbye. The American Family Robinson, which is broadcast regularly over this station, is written by Douglas Silver and Marjorie Bartlett and produced by the National Industrial Council.